life definitely has its fair share of ups and downs. We deal with the death of loved ones, different illnesses, mental health challenges, and every other struggle in between. But sometimes it's hard to be real and actually talk about this stuff. My name is Alexis Bean, but you can call me Lex. And this is Big Girl Panties Podcast. Here, I chat with both professional experts and other women like me who have their own story about living through grief, trauma, and other tough times, and how they have found a way to put on their big girl panties and thrive. Friends, welcome to another episode of Big Girl Panties Podcast. I'm your host, Alexis Bean, and I am so excited that you're here with me today. I must apologize because in our last episode, I was so excited about the new season and all the fun episodes that we have coming your way, but that was just over a month ago, you guys. Over the course of, say, the last 3 weeks, I have been promoting a recent launch event for our guided journal, Your Love is Alive, a guided memory journal honoring your loved one. And it has been an absolute blast. It's been a lot of work though, but very fulfilling and something that I'm really, really proud of. I want to say thank you to everyone that has helped to celebrate this launch with me, has supported me on social media or in person, who has bought a journal. Yeah, it just means a lot to me. Thank you so much. And truthfully, I didn't want to have the journal launch and a new podcast episode competing against each other as my current focus and as your current focus. So I decided to just delay the release of this episode and wait until after. My guest for today is a lovely young Bermudian woman. She is navigating her 20s. She is a business owner. She is a designer and she is a change maker. And I believe that she is someone who marches to the beat of her own drum. I'm excited for this episode because I want us to continue to think about what it means to follow your own individual path, to lean into your own interests and heart's desires, and what that looks like in your own story. Although your past may include rough terrain and tragedy, it can also include clarity and alignment, like we found with our last guest, Rochelle Richards. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we learn from my next guest. Without further ado, here is today's conversation with Courtney Clay. Courtney Clay, welcome to Big Girl Panties Podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you so much for joining me. I'm excited that you're here and that we get to talk today. Before we get into, I guess, like a deeper quote unquote or more about you, let's start off the conversation with something a little bit light, something a bit fun. We'll start with a game of this or that. Ooh. So I'm going to give you some choices. And then you tell me which option of the two you would prefer based off of your taste, your preferences. So this or that. Tell me, Courtney, books or movies?
Definitely movies.
Movies. Okay. I don't know why I thought books.
No.
Fall back or spring forward? So winter or summer?
Probably summer.
You're my kind of girl. Spring forward. Yeah. Girls night in or girls night out?
Girls night in.
Girls night in. Okay. I like that as well. It would be a little bit different for me if girls night out was like a dinner or something like that, then I would like that. But I love to be inside. So I'm with you on that.
Too much. I need to get out.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Last one. Mediterranean cruise with a balcony suite, all-inclusive, or Caribbean island private villa, all-inclusive?
A private villa.
Private villa?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those both sound like amazing options, and I'm really sad that I brought that to us because we're not doing either of those things. So
I know.
So we'll put it on the list, but yeah. Okay, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
So that was a fun start. So we know a little bit about you now, about your likes and dislikes, a bit of your taste. So as we move on from that, could you please take me on a journey a bit of your life after you graduated from high school. Did you go to university? And how would you describe your journey within your life from like an 18-year-old student or new graduate to going through life as a young adult? Yeah. So you don't have to tell us like all the details or anything, like your school's names or anything like that. But shout out to our high school. But you don't have to give all of those names, but you can just take me on a journey of what life was like for you after you graduated from high school. And if you went to university, what that was like and your journey into like young adulthood.
Yeah. So after high school, I wanted to do something that nobody wanted to do or thought that I should do. And at that point, I didn't have the training to do anything in fashion or to get into a proper fashion school at that time. So I took an uncertain kind of path and I applied to the school in Italy. Mm-hmm. And I lived in Milan for a year.
Wow.
So I started fashion school there and I didn't like it.
Okay.
But it was a great experience. I learned so much and I made a lot of friends.
Yeah.
And so from there, I was devastated. I was like, oh my gosh, now what?
Yeah.
And so I moved to the UK. I did a portfolio course to get my skills up. Mm-hmm. And just basically in fashion or any type of art degree, you have to get a foundation year.
Yeah. Okay.
And in that foundation year, you learn different skills and you kind of decide where you want to be from there. Mm-hmm. But you cannot get into like a bachelor's course without it.
Okay. Okay. I
didn't know that. So coming from Bermuda, I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to do this portfolio course. So I did that. And through that, I found my real passion, which was print design. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what it was, but I didn't end up studying that at first. So then I did my bachelor's in fashion design and I focused on menswear. And that was quite interesting. And I found it very challenging, I can't lie. And it made me question myself a lot during that degree.
Yeah.
But moving forward to about 2021, which is like a long time.
That's what it seems like.
I know, it's crazy. So then I was like, okay, COVID hit. So I was like, well, what am I going to do? Like, I can't get another job. Nothing's happening. And my mom was like, why don't you go back to school? And I was like, girl, I hate school.
Girl, let's be real.
Why would I put myself through that again? Like, I did so bad during my bachelor's. Like, no. So anyway, so I was just like, yeah, whatever. So I applied to one school, totally forgot about it. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, and I applied late. So I was like, yeah, right. This isn't going to happen. And then I get an email in like August and the course started in October and they're like, mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you got in. And I was like, no.
No way.
I was like, here we go again. But that was probably the best decision I had ever made.
Yeah.
Because I got to study print and textile design and really just tap into it. I found my creative style. I found, reignited my passion. Mm-hmm. And I just was able to thrive in it.
Yeah.
And I had never experienced that before. So it was so refreshing. Like, me and my teacher got along. She let me, do projects based on my culture. So I did, one project about like Gombe culture in Bermuda. Mm-hmm. And I was really able to just tap into things that I never knew I could do. And
yeah,
that was just a beautiful thing for me, just being able to grow through that degree. And I was shocked I got a distinction. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm actually smart.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
So yeah, so that happened. And then what did I do? 10 years is a long journey, like thinking about it.
And sorry, 10 years has been like since you started your school journey or life after high school and then completed your your degree?
It's my 10th year anniversary from graduating.
Wow. Yeah. And when would you say that you kind of finished school, technically?
2021.
Like with your 2021.
That's when I finished my master's. Yeah. I mean, I have taken courses in between, but yeah. So then after that, COVID was still happening.
Yeah.
And it was quite difficult, you know, trying to find a job in my field without the experience, because like for my degree, we were supposed to have internships and blah, blah, blah. But COVID put a halt to all of that.
Yeah.
And so I had to move back home because my lease was ending, and it was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But so yeah, now I'm home. Yeah. And yeah, so I would say my journey since high school has been the road less traveled. Mm-hmm. It's been a maze. And it's kind of like, I would say being blind and just walking by faith, because mm-hmm. I don't even know what next year holds.
Yeah.
And so it's been a lot of kind of just putting my trust in God and being like, okay, let's just put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
I may not want to be here, but everything, every time has a reason and a purpose. So yeah, that's been your journey.
I love that. I love that. Thank you for sharing that with me and with our listeners. And I think that an important part or message from your story, from your journey throughout that time, is that no, you didn't know exactly what your path was going to look like. And yes, you had an interest in the arts, in fashion, and you sought out for that. You went to Italy, you experienced that. So you gave something a try. And then you said, actually, I don't like this. This is not for me. And then so you shared that you kind of felt a little taken aback. You felt a little bad about yourself. And that's something that we can all experience. That's something that we can all experience in life. And you kept going. You tried something else. And then you found your true passion, as you said. And through that journey, again, it's still not the easiest process. You're still not sure about everything, but you've fallen in love and found something that you're meant to do, or something that you feel connected to. And that's where you're kind of taking your steps and trusting your path. And as you say, you're holding on to your faith throughout that. You're trusting in God and allowing Him to lead you. And through that, you're experiencing the things that we're all experiencing, which is the pandemic. Who knew that that was going to happen?
Oh my gosh.
But I think that that's such a refreshing and honest take on what your early 20s has been like since you graduated from high school, and what the past 10 years has been like. So thank you for sharing that.
Cool.
I would love to move on and not take up too much of your time, because I'm mindful of the time, but could you quickly share a little bit of what your experience was like within your relationships? Like, meaning when you're leaving home, you're 18 years old or 19, however old you were, you're moving away from Bermuda. So you're moving away from your parents, your closest friends and family. What was it like leaving the people that you love behind and trying to make new friends overseas? What process was that like a little bit?
Honestly, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I know that I was like, it was a culture shock for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, living with somebody I didn't know, and she was older than me, and it wasn't the nicest experience. So like being at home didn't feel comfortable when I was in Milan.
Mm-hmm.
So I would find myself at my friends' places all the time.
Yeah.
So once I found a friend group, it wasn't as tough being away from home. The first initial like couple months were more difficult, but I was pretty good at making friends. I had about 3 really close girlfriends there.
Okay, that's a good amount.
And they really made me feel at home.
Yeah.
They were all older than me. One of them actually was married at the time, and she was from Texas, but she took me under her wing, and she was the only other Black girl in the school. And then this other girl I met, she was from Czech Republic, and she became one of my greatest friends. She was amazing. She always took care of me, looked out for me. So once I found this tribe, it was like if I ever needed anything or felt alone, you know, I had people to go to.
Yeah.
And so that really saved me, honestly.
Yeah.
So, I think if anybody were to go into foreign territory or something, just being able to be yourself and finding a small group of friends who accept you for who you are just makes any journey so much easier.
Absolutely.
That's what happens. Absolutely.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. I'm glad I asked that other question. That's so important. So I'm happy that you were able to find that and experience that, because good people are hard to come by. So if you're able to cultivate that kind of that tribe and that kind of network, or even meet one person who you connect with, especially when you're away from home, that's such a big deal. So that's really important. So thank you for sharing that. So present day, Courtney, you are a print and textile designer, and you have your own design studio, Courtney Clay Studio.
Yeah.
Tell me, is this your full-time position, or do you run your business on, you know, whilst also working at another job?
Well, I just started a new job.
Well, congratulations. Maybe. Yes, congratulations.
It's a good environment somehow.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's key. So that was my first question. Do you work full-time, or do you have your studio full-time, or do you have another job? So congratulations on your new job. But how did you make the decision to branch out and start your own studio? That's a big deal.
Yeah. So when I finished my bachelor's, that graduate collection did pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And people wanted stuff from me and to buy stuff. And I wasn't ready for that. So I was just like, yeah, sure, whatever. You get a hoodie.
Yeah.
And it was just for myself. I was literally making it for Black Lives Matter because mm-hmm. I just wanted to make myself a custom shirt because it was something important to me. But then people wanted it. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not ready for this. And then I got a little bit of press off that collection. And then people kept like asking me about it. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I wasn't in the mental space or anything.
Yeah.
So I kind of let go of that part of it. That was called Ace Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I just started kind of dabbing into working a little bit, trying to become an adult. And then I worked at this one place for a couple months. And I was like, okay, I need to focus on my dreams.
Yeah.
Because if I don't start now, I'll never start. And it was a big decision to make.
Absolutely.
And at that point, it kind of aligned because the Ignite program was about to accept people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to do this program, I need to be free. I need to take the time out because I'm learning so much. And, you know, I really want to apply myself. I don't want to be overstimulated or have other things going on. So that kind of aligned perfectly. And then I got accepted into the Ignite program. So I did that for, I can't remember how long it was. It's like, I think it was like 9 or 6 months or something like that. So yeah, I did that. And then, yeah, it was a bit difficult for me because with what I'm doing, it's a niche. And I just felt like I needed somebody who understood what I was doing or what I was going through or trying to produce. So yeah, I did that. And then I came out of it. And then what happened? This is a complicated question.
Yeah.
At one point I was like, okay, I need to release my first product. I need to do this. I need to do that. And I was like, wait, I have no money. How am I supposed to do this?
How am I going to do this?
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, this is so unrealistic. Like, I felt like my dreams were like getting further and further away from me.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's taken me a while to answer this question.
No, but I can tell it's going to come together.
I'm like trying to remember everything that went on because it was so recent and it was like so much going on at once. I started off by doing like artwork for people. I did prints for other people's brands, album artwork. And then I said to myself, okay, if I'm doing this, I need to do something for myself. I need to have something with my name on it. I can't keep contributing to other people's streams.
Mm-hmm.
You mean, I love to help people, but at the end of the day, I've had this vision for myself to be a designer since I was literally like 5. I know people say that all the time, but it's real for me. So I decided to just start making my own thing. So in a couple of weeks, I'll have my first product out, finally. So I'm so excited.
Really?
Yeah. So I would say, thank you. So I would say this is now the launch of Courtney Clay Studios.
Because
a lot of people didn't know what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, are you an artist? Do you do this? Do you do that? And so me releasing a first product shows how I incorporate the print into the textile. So like the artwork into fabric. So yeah, so that's exciting. So I'm releasing printed scarves.
Oh, that is very exciting. I love that.
So I'm really excited and they'll be sold at Cassine. So that's
exciting. Okay. Do you have a release date yet for us or we can't know that yet?
In a couple of weeks.
this episode is going to be released the first week of December or maybe the second.
It'll
week.
Be out by then.
Okay.
I think they should.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's very exciting. That's amazing. Congratulations.
So that long-winded answer.
Yeah.
To say that it's basically now. I would say yeah.
It's coming together. That's incredible. So thank you for sharing all of that with us. And I want to backtrack a little bit first to say, just to offer a little bit of context, the Ignite program is an entrepreneurship accelerator program in Bermuda for entrepreneurs and who are trying to start their business or excel their business in a specific area. And it's a great program. It offers a lot of workshops. You learn a lot of skills. You meet a lot of fellow entrepreneurs, people in different industries, and it's a great program over a short period of time. So it's an accelerator program. But I also want to say to you, I want to correct you in saying that just because you're now releasing your first product does not mean that your business didn't exist prior to that. Because entrepreneurship is a journey. And I fully understand that because I am just releasing my first product. I just released it at the end of last year. And I resonated with you 1000% on the entrepreneurship journey and feeling like, is my art a business or is it just something that I'm dabbling in because it is my art and because I'm good at it, because I'm doing these side projects for others? Like what makes it a business? And I think that as soon as it exists, as soon as the art exists and you're doing something, that's a business. So you can own that from the very beginning. But this is a next level. This is a new level in your business. So congratulations.
Yeah,
this is a big feat. Yeah.
I'm finally getting to where I start to envision myself.
Yes. That's a huge deal. That's a huge deal. Yeah. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Can't wait to see those scarves. I hope we'll be able to get one of those soon. So looking forward to that.
It's a limited availability, but they're cute.
So that means we have to pay attention and grab them quickly, everyone. So we'll be on the lookout for the release date. I think, as Courtney says, will probably be released by the time that we air this episode. So
yeah, get them for Christmas.
get them for Christmas. Let's go out and support. Oh, I'd love to support that. Within your work of print and textile design, as a designer, as an artist, do you find that, this is like a Godal Alexis kind of question, but do you find that there are challenges that come up for you as a designer in Bermuda? And if you do, what would you say that some of those challenges are?
Tell me where there aren't challenges.
right?
I'm joking. I'm not joking.
Yeah.
But it is really difficult. Resources are slim to none. shipping, importing, duty. I had no idea how expensive it was. I was like, I got this budget, so, and I'm like, oh man, like, and even trying to do things and get locals to help. Girl,
it's a lot.
It takes a year and a day. And so, like, as much as you want to, like, feed back into the community, it's hard because you can't always depend on the community to come through for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, geez, like, I want to get, like, local people to help me make these products and blah, blah, blah. And I did for half of them, but it was just taking so long. And, like, would you believe I was trying to get these out for Cut Match?
I would believe. I like, trust me. I would believe. Not to say I've experienced working with local or, you know, fellow Bermudian vendors for certain things, but just the idea that, or having an idea of, or a goal to release a product or release something with a certain date in mind, and then just the business of entrepreneurship or any type of project reminds you, like, no, there's probably all these issues and challenges that you didn't quite think about in your original plan that come up, and they cause those delays. So I could understand that, but
yeah. And I think another huge problem is, I guess, like, consumers, they don't realize that there's a lot that goes into cost. Mm-hmm. So if I sell a product and let's say it's above $50,
yeah,
people are going to complain. And they're going to be like, I wouldn't pay that, or blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But then you look around and you're spending, like, let's say $300 on, like, a designer brand when the quality is probably much cheaper. It just has a name on it. And so people get iffy when it comes to you putting big prices, and they don't realize, like, what goes into it. Like, for example, well, I can only attest to myself.
Of course.
But all of my prints are hand drawn, so that takes time. And then, you know, figuring out concepts, it's a journey. Like, you can't just come up with stuff and just be like, okay, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Like, inspiration has to come, and then you have to think about, okay, this person has to market their stuff. They have to get the fabric from way down yonder.
Yeah.
And then get it made somewhere else. And for me personally, I'm not getting my stuff made in places like China or the Middle East or anything, because I believe in ethical working, sustainable working, and just making sure that I can keep an eye on the whole process of my products getting made. So my journey is a bit more expensive than somebody who's getting, like, quantities made in, like, China or whatever. So yeah, it's going to be a bit more expensive, especially if you want to do things the right way.
Yeah, so there's a lot to consider.
Yeah, and I couldn't live with myself if I knew somebody was only getting paid, like, 3 cents to make my product, and I'm selling it for, like, way more than 3 cents. So some things just don't sit right with me, so I have to go the more expensive route just to make sure that workers are getting paid and they're not working in terrible conditions.
Of course. Yeah. That's a big deal. Thank you. Courtney, this is a big question and a great transition, because you shared a little bit about your beliefs and what you stand for when it comes to your design process and how, and your choices, I guess, when it comes to creating and manufacturing your designs into your products. So you are one of the co-founders for Bermuda is Love, an organization in Bermuda. Can you please share with us what exactly that initiative is and how you started this important work?
Yeah, of course. So Bermuda's Love is a community organization. It is founded by a group of friends who all just had the same passion to just help Bermuda and make it a better place. Mm-hmm. So Aaron Critchlow, the original founder, he came to us with this idea. One day we were all just hanging out, and he was like, I have this great idea. And I was like, what is it? And then he started to explain Bermuda's Love. And I was like, well, let's get it going. Like, this is an amazing idea. I think we need it. And actually in high school, I did a bit of human rights. So I was a part of Amnesty International Bermuda. So I was already passionate about doing things to advocate for people who need somebody to advocate for them or a voice. And so Bermuda is Love. It tackles human rights. So all of our events are based on human rights, the rights of food, healthy environment, clothing, housing, education, justice. So we like to focus all of our events catered to human rights. So, for example, our trash cleanups, the right to a healthy environment, blood drives, right to health. And also we just started to do monthly campaigns based on different rights, just so that we can educate people and they can know, okay, this month is based on this, so this event's going to be catered to this topic.
Yeah.
And just so that people don't get too confused, because at first people are like, oh, what do you guys do? You guys just do trash cleanups. Or you're like, no, we don't. So we've had lots of successful events, and we really pride ourselves with collaborating with other charities. We don't like to, you know, take ownership over anything. We like to advocate for each charity, and we like to educate people on what resources are out there, who's doing what, and how we can help them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Bermuda's Love, the core value is love. And that means we have to love each other, help each other. And we can't be selfish, because yeah. You know, love isn't selfish. Love is helping your neighbor or taking them somewhere or making sure that they know they have access to this or that. So yeah, that's basically what Bermuda's Love does in a nutshell.
That's so beautiful. I love the work that you guys do. And so that's such an incredible organization that Aaron has started, you and your friends have all started, and I can just watch it like a building and just growing into such an important part mm-hmm. of Bermuda. And now that you think of it, you're like, what were we doing without Bermuda is Love? So it's a really important organization that's been started. So thank you for the work that you're doing within the Bermuda community.
I want to add one more thing.
Sure.
Which kind of ties into everything.
Okay.
So the cool thing about it is a bunch of us from high school actually were some of the founders. So it's connecting us back to War Academy days.
Yeah.
And then now on to here. And we have one person who wasn't at War Academy, but it's so nice because it's reconnected us as friends. So it's Aaron Critchlow, Aaron Woods, Shai Weldon, DeAndre Trott, and Eli Smith.
I love that.
It's really nice because, like we talked about, having a group of friends or a circle, and that's kind of what we are. And we've all come together to build such an amazing thing that's growing and going to be even bigger and bigger and make more of an impact.
I love it because you're doing something as friends, like you're just hanging out as friends, essentially. Like we'll start there, and then you're choosing together to, like, let's spend our time making positive impact in our home, like that we love. Yeah. So that's so cool. That's you're setting such an amazing example for the rest of the people around that are witnessing you guys and that are within your community, but also listeners who within their own community can kind of initiate something or just be a part of something and make an impact. So that's really a big thing. Great job, you guys. Shout out to fellow Warwick alum. I love it. I saw that Bermuda is Love recently partnered with Harmony Birth Services earlier this year, and you guys created reusable sanitary pads for women in Ethiopia. What was it like merging your passion for design with your efforts to make impactful change within philanthropy?
Well, it was really easy. I met Faven through Ignite. Mm-hmm. She's in my cohort. She's such a lovely lady. And we had talked about it like months ago. And we were like, okay, we're going to do this. I was like, yeah, let's do it. She showed me the sample and everything. And then I told Aaron about it because I had totally forgot. And so then actually I lied. I had met with her for coffee to catch up, and then she had mentioned it again. And I was like, yeah, let's do it like next month.
Let's do it.
Yeah. And then I messaged Erin and I was like, hey, can we do this?
We're going to do this.
And he was like, yeah, I'd love to. So then I got in contact with Michelle Frey, who's one of my good friends. She's a designer in Bermuda.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also like a mentor to me. And so we said, can we use your studio? And she was like, yeah, of course. So then way more people than we expected came. I was not ready. It was such a successful event. We didn't even get to finish everything.
Okay.
So we're going to have a part two hopefully soon.
Nice.
Maybe early next year. Cause
okay.
This month and next month are crazy.
Yeah.
And since we got everything basically started, but with that, not everybody knew how to sew, but everybody wanted to help out. And so it was kind of like a big job for me and Michelle because we were like, everybody was so eager and they were moving so fast. It was like having a factory. In my mind, I was like, I need you guys to make my product for me. We're going to move this fast. I'm joking. I would never do that. But it was really nice to see both passions come together. One, women's rights, which are very important. And I think something we take for granted is how we have access to sanitary products.
Yeah.
They have a lot of like body modifications in that part of the world, and they go through a lot more than we do. They can't go to school on their period.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have sanitary products. They probably don't even have like medication or remedies to, you know, you don't know what they go through over there.
Yeah.
And so it's really heartbreaking to hear. So once Faven told me about it, and she told me about the midwife she was collaborating with, I was like, we need to get something going for these girls because, you know, it just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
So, and then since I can sew, I was like, yeah, let's just do it. Let's just get a move on because whoever we can help near or far, let's just try and see how it goes.
That's awesome. That's beautiful. So would you see yourself, I know you said that you're planning on doing a part two for this event, but would you see yourself like doing other events like this, like in the future, or other opportunities to kind of merge your passions again in other opportunities?
Yeah, I'd love to. We do have upcycling events where we ask people to bring stuff that already exists in their wardrobe,
mm-hmm.
and we try to turn it into something different.
Oh, cool.
Within reason, because some people come with these big ideas, and I'm like,
Wait a minute.
We got to keep it simple. So we have that event, and we do like clothing drives, and we have a free clothing giveaway, which is really important to me because it's like showing we can use other people's clothes. We can, you know, repurpose them, and we can just reuse and reduce.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's no shame in that. And you can get good quality clothes. And I think people need to start taking the stigma off of that. Like, oh no, it's been worn or blah, blah, blah. Like some of my good clothes are from my sister's friend.
Oh yeah. Like, it's like, wait.
And she like brings me buckets and I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be for Bermuda's love, but I take them for myself.
Yes,
because
like,
they're just so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I think people need to start doing stuff like that. Like, okay, I have all these clothes. Instead of throwing them away, let me swap clothes with my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give them to my little cousin. Or, you know, like, we don't have to waste. And
exactly.
So, yeah, we'll have more events, definitely. I know we're going to do a Right to Clothing Month next year.
Okay.
So that'll be exciting.
Okay, we'll look out for that.
And hopefully I'll be doing some stuff for that.
But that's all exciting.
Yeah.
What would you say has been, if you can, the most important or impactful cause that you've helped to raise awareness for so far?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a tough one. I would say it's tough only because we just started doing campaigns not too long ago, and we have so many more that we want to tackle.
Oh.
And I feel like if you dig deep enough, each of our causes is so important.
Yeah.
I would say so far, the No New Clothes campaign has been very impactful.
Yeah.
Because we were able to educate people on fast fashion.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that people use a lot.
Yeah, it sure is.
And yeah, and even this month's campaign, the Right to a Healthy Environment, I should say November's campaign, is really important. But actually, since it's coming out in December, our December, what's it called, campaign is the Right to Food. And I think that's going to be the most important so far.
Yeah.
We have some great events lined up to hopefully help people, especially in the times where, you know, inflation and just knowing that there are places that give out food and, you know, cater to that. I know that it's hard for some people with stricter diets, but there aren't many places that like customize like free food like that. But there are a lot of places that do provide different things. So, you know, collaborating with people, also having, we're going to have a panel discussion session with different people so that they can also educate us, because as Bermuda is Love, we're like an avenue so that we can lead you to the right places. We don't have all the resources. And so that's what our campaigns are for, to educate people and show them, okay, go this way, go that way.
Yeah.
If you need this, if you need that, and this is why it's important. So yeah, I just feel like that would be a very important campaign for us and very impactful, especially with what's going on. Our Right to Housing campaign was really great because I don't think a lot of people realized the housing crisis is awful. And, you know, how many homeless people are out there, people living in car parks behind buildings. And it's just crazy. And, you know, I think it was great for us to highlight that. And also a lot of, I think it was, I can't remember what organization was holding it, but I know that the government was talking a lot about homelessness and they have a panel that they've created. So that was impactful too, because we were kind of aligned with what's going on and the topics talked about in Bermuda.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mentioned so much stuff just now.
Yeah. No, but that's important, because it was kind of like a trick question to say like what's the most important, but essentially you're saying that they're all important. We're all equally important, and I agree with you on that. So yeah, keep raising awareness, and I think that I can bet that each cause that you do choose to highlight, it will be your new favorite, because it's all, we're not new favorite, but it'll be the new most important cause, because they're all equally important. So thank you for raising all of those causes. And this is a great segue, because this is my last question for you regarding Bermuda is Love. Where can listeners find you? How can people keep in touch with everything that Bermuda is Love doing?
So you can find us everywhere. Literally Google us.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be cheeky like that. You can find us at BVA is Love on Instagram, Bermuda is Love on Facebook, TikTok, Twitter. We're so hip. And if you want to email us, you can email us at bermudaislove@gmail.com. If you want to collaborate or join us for any event or suggest anything, if you have any resources you want to share, whatever.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. So yeah. So we'll take note of all those links or handles that you just shared with us, the email address, and I will also include them in the show notes of the episode for Bermuda is Love. So we will definitely keep tabs on what you guys are doing. I encourage everyone in Bermuda to get involved. If you're outside of Bermuda, perhaps reach out and see how you can collaborate, or just give them a follow on social media. It helps to spread the word and spread awareness and do more for the community. So thank you for sharing that part. Thank you for sharing that with us and what Bermuda is Love does, and what you and your friends and others in the community are doing to help others. So it's really important. So to segue on from that, Courtney, for you specifically, how do you manage your own emotional and mental well-being whilst giving so much of yourself to the community?
I don't. I'm joking.
Like, what are you, an alien?
Yeah. No. Well, the key, like I mentioned earlier, is through my faith. Just staying grounded. I know everybody has their different avenues and segues into how they stay grounded, but literally just, you know, prayer, having hope, and just believing that there's better to come and that whatever you do doesn't go in vain. It's all about perspective, you know? A lot of the times, things can get very heavy. Mm-hmm. Things can feel overwhelming. You feel like, oh my gosh, am I doing things in vain? Like, why am I doing this? How's this going to impact anybody? Like, but, you know, just knowing that the world wasn't built in a day and knowing that we have to just take things one step at a time.
Yeah.
And just believe that whatever you're doing is for a purpose, it's for a reason, it's for a cause. Like, nothing you do is in vain. Nothing goes wasted. Mistakes, regrets, bad things that have happened to you in life, like, it's not for no reason.
Yeah.
Of course, we wish a lot of things didn't happen.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we just have to give gratitude and thank God that we aren't in that place that we were and we overcame. So for me, it's like, I have to thank God and be like, okay, I've gotten through worse.
Yeah.
You know, like, and for emotional well-being, it's like having a good community around, one friend, two friends, you know, family members, whatever, somebody who understands you, who you can talk to. And if you don't have anybody to talk to, just like look up and just help.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just finding balance is so through faith and just having a small community around. Like, I don't have a big community myself.
Yeah.
And they're not together. They're all separated in different places and whatever, but they keep me going and motivated. And yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that. You sound like you're very grounded in where you are and your mental and emotional state. I will also say that you are very wise. You're a very wise young woman. So that's amazing. But also sounds like you have a great tribe of people around you. I know that you come from a family of faith. And so I can truly imagine that's incredibly important to you and has helped you be the woman that you are and remain in like the mental and emotional state that you are in and how important that is to you. So that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Of course.
Courtney, what advice would you have for young people who may be holding back or afraid to either pursue their dreams or create change in their community?
Don't be afraid. It sounds so cliche. I'm scared every day. But don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't compare yourself because no one's going to be like you. You can have the craziest idea, the simplest idea. But as long as you put your blinders on and you focus on what you want to do and who you want to be, that's all that matters. Like, focus on being your authentic self. Don't worry about what this person's doing, what they're creating, because at the end of the day, they're not you.
Yeah.
Your vision is yours. Your passion is yours, and it comes from a sacred place.
Yeah.
And I feel like nobody should be afraid to just allow their dreams to come true. It's so much easier said than done. It's going to be very difficult. Mm-hmm. You have to be ready for the obstacles, but believe in yourself, believe in your dream, even if nobody around you believes in it.
Yeah.
And even if you feel alone, take that and pour it into whatever you're trying to create. You may not have the money, you may not have the education, but you have what a lot of people don't have. Mm-hmm. And that is passion, determination, and drive. And sometimes you just have to look within and just be like, look, who is that little girl or little boy? Or what did they want to do? What did they want to be? And just do it for them.
Yeah.
If anything. Yeah.
That's a word. That's a message. Thank you. Thank you for that. That's important. Thank you, Courtney.
No worries.
I already asked you about how we can contact you about Bermuda is Love, or how we can stay connected to you and your team and Bermuda is Love as an organization. But how can people get in contact with you regarding your design services?
So you can contact me on Instagram at Courtney Clay Studio, or you can email me at info@CourtneyClayStudio.com. I'm still working on my website. As an entrepreneur, you got to do everything yourself.
Oh, gosh.
And I am not tech savvy. Like, me trying to create this website is like, oh. I feel like a grandma trying to work an iPhone.
Oh, my goodness. So no worries, no rush. So at this time, well, people can contact you on Instagram. And if they want to email you, they can contact you via email. So.
Yeah.
People will listen to that. And then I will also include those details in the show notes of the episode. So thank you. So listeners, if you are interested in connecting with Courtney to support her, follow her on Instagram. If you would like to work with her or have her design something for you or a project or something that you're working on, get in contact with her, send her an email, follow her on Instagram, send her a DM, go through all the right channels and get in contact with her. So Courtney, as we're winding down, let's wind down on a bit of a lighter note after all of that deep conversation. And I think this is a fitting conversation after our, or a fitting question, I should say, after our conversation that we've just had. What is your favorite comfort meal and why?
Comfort meal?
Yes. Like that makes you feel like cozy. Like when you have it, you're like, oh, I love this food. Like what's a great comfort meal for you?
My mom.
Not even necessarily cozy, but something where you're like, oh my gosh, I love this meal so much. It makes you feel at home. It's your go-to.
For sure.
Your mom's a lasagna?
She makes it once a year. And all Bianca's friends are always like, when is you having lasagna? So we have like a lasagna games night.
Oh, nice.
And so it's like a tradition we have.
Yeah.
And so everyone's like, when are you making lasagna? When are you making, oh, make me a pen. Da-da-da-da. I need to take some home. And so it's one of those comfort meals because she doesn't make it often.
Mm-hmm.
And it just tastes so good. It hurts my stomach, but it tastes so
good. But it's worth it.
Yeah. And I'll keep eating it.
And I'll keep eating it. Thank you very much. I love it. Okay. So lasagna is the comfort meal. It can only happen once a year, but it's worth it when it does happen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love it. Well, Courtney, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been an amazing conversation. I knew that you were a deep young woman. So this has been a great conversation. You're like, what? This has been a great conversation. I really appreciate your transparency and sharing your journey within just your journey from graduating from high school and the journey throughout college and trying to figure out who you are, how you want to find yourself within your career, within your passion for design, how you've been able to find new passion in different humanitarian causes and how you can support those and raise awareness in Bermuda. Such, I believe that you're living a very rich life and fulfilling life. I'm giving you all this, like, I'm being very deep. I apologize, but I don't.
No, that's fine. You're going to try and make me cry here.
I am. I'm very proud of you. And you're doing such amazing things. And I say all this, one, because they're true, but also because it takes a lot. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of faith and a lot of strength to choose to step in to what you really want to do, and you're doing it, and you're setting an example for myself and so many other people out there. So I hope that listeners can pick up on that and can be inspired by that, because you're very authentic through all of it, and I really appreciate it, and I hope other people do as well.
Oh my goodness.
So thank you very much.
And then thank you for what you do, because without voices like yours, we won't be able to hear different stories, different journeys. And we wouldn't be able to be inspired by you. So, you know, you are a vessel and a voice. So I appreciate you just as much, and I'm very proud of you.
Thank you very much. All this love shared today. I love it.
So much love.
So much love. So much love. As we end this, Courtney, my final question of the night, the day of the episode. What does putting on your big girl panties mean to you? What does that look like in your life?
It means getting up every day and just choosing to be positive, choosing to just change your perspective, choosing to follow your dreams, not give up, and just work hard to just make your dreams come true. It's about being a light and an example. It's just about living for you and who you want to be. Putting on your big girl's panties, it's like you're going to have tough situations, conversations, decisions you have to make now, and tough seasons through life, but you're going to get up and you just got to move through it and know that there's a bigger, better plan out there for you, and you just got to go for it.
Amen. Amen. I love that. I love that. Thank you so much, Courtney. This has been incredible, and I love that answer.
Oh, yay.